But right now we're joined by a Yahoo Sports columnist, a New York Times bestselling author, co-host of the Yahoo Sports College podcast. He is a Busch Light ambassador. He's a friend of the program. He is Dan Wetzel. Dan, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How are you?
Good, good. So you were at Madison Square Garden Saturday night for UFC 244, the BMF fight, Dan, between Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz. Let me start with Masvidal. When you consider where he was only a few years back, how amazing is it that this guy was being walked to the cage by Roberto Duran and getting a belt put on him by The Rock?
Yeah, amazing. You know, it's 2 years ago he fought it at UFC 217 at Madison Square Garden, lost to Stephen Wonderboy Thompson kind of decisively. And I remember that fight and just thinking, you know, Masvidal, he's just another guy. Like, he's a tough guy, likes to fight, but, you know, just a good fighter, but that was going to be it. And 2 years later, he is now right there at the top of the sport, this huge event, beats Diaz. Very impressive performance across those three rounds. And now he's sitting there in the mix of, does he fight Conor McGregor? Does he go after an actual title? Is there a rematch with Diaz? All of those are mega money fights. And in just 2 years, really 1 year he took off. And then this year with three victories, he's run into the elite of this. And I think he'll be extremely popular going forward. He really used, more than any other fighter yet, the ESPN UFC partnership to promote himself before this fight. He was on ESPN more than Stephen A. Smith, I think, in the last couple of weeks. And so he's doing what he's got to do. And then he came out and delivered in the octagon with a really, really good performance.
Dan Wetzel is joining us. In fact, Masvidal, Dan, called it his Picasso, and it's kind of hard to argue that point. What was your reaction when the doctor called the fight because of that cut? Did the doctor get that call right?
Well, you know, I'm not a doctor, Jim. I play one on TV.
Right.
I don't know. I would have liked to seen the fight. I did not, from my vantage point, the cut wasn't getting worse over the fight. I don't think that fight gets stopped. Let me put it this way. I don't think that fight gets stopped in California. I don't think it gets stopped in Las Vegas. I think they keep going. It's a very similar to cut than what Diaz had when he defeated Conor McGregor. He gets cut up there. It's the same cut almost every single time. Was it ugly? Was it a big cut? Yes. There's a little bit of just the problem of the promotion of MMA and the ethos of MMA and then the reality of a doctor. I mean, we're fighting for the BMF title. The first word's baddest, the second's mother. You can figure out the entire thing on your own. And yet it gets stopped. So it was a disappointment. You want to see that thing end. And particularly with Nate Diaz, who's strategy in fights, because of his almost always superior cardio, is to just keep pushing, and late in the fight he's going to take it. He has huge surges late in fights. He figures out timing of guys. Other guys get tired. So as much as I take nothing from Masvidal, because he was brilliant, and getting a fight stopped because a cut is part of the strategy. You keep hitting a guy in the cut in hopes that that happens. But it was a little like a rainout where you won after seven rounds, but we never got to see the end, and you just don't know for sure. Probably Masvidal keeps winning that fight, but you don't know with Nate Diaz. So you can see where Nate's saying, hey, look, that fight didn't get stopped by technical knockout or knockout. It got stopped by a doctor. Give me a rematch. And I think there's enough of that where a lot of people would feel that way.
We are talking to Dan Wetzel. So what about that? I mean, Nate wants the rematch. Masvidal said that he's open to the idea, but Dana White does not like the idea of an immediate rematch. So how do you see that playing out?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I don't think Dana White ever likes when fighters are trying to decide who's going to fight next. So I wasn't surprised when he came in and said, yeah, let's pump the brakes on that. He also does not like to make fights on the night of the previous fight, because you end up with emotion saying this is the best match. When it might be better for Masvidal to go for the actual title, it might be better for Masvidal to fight Conor McGregor. It might be better to set up Nate and Conor McGregor next summer for the trilogy that they've been waiting for. Nate Diaz has always given rematches, though, right? He gave McGregor a rematch. He's done it throughout his career. He's got two he's waiting on, Masvidal and Conor. Does he get one of those, particularly next summer? I think he's going to need to take some time off to heal up his face, try to get himself organized. But 6-7 months from now, absolutely. Could he fight? Does he get one of those two fights? I think that's what's important. If the UFC continues to give him fights that interest him, they're going to keep this guy fighting. And he is a thrilling fighter. He is a popular fighter. He brings pay-per-view numbers. He brings attention. There's just something about watching him fight, whether he wins or loses, that works. And if you don't give him those fights, he'll go away. He just did a 3-year stint where he just decided not to fight because he wasn't interested. I'd hate to see that happen because I think the sport's more fun when Nate Diaz is in it. So which one does he get? I think he should get both of those rematches at some point, or he gets the winner of Connor and Masvidal or something like that if that goes down. But you basically have three guys now circling each other, and there's a lot of money at stake for all three of them. And there's one thing about Dana White, he likes money.
Dan Wetzel joining us. All right, so what about a possible fight, Dan, between Masvidal and Conor McGregor? And what did you make of Masvidal's reaction to that idea when it came up at the press conference?
Everybody wants to fight Conor McGregor because that's the biggest money, no question. McGregor returned. Masvidal, of course, starts taunting Conor because he wants to get Conor to react. So he's basically saying, I'll kill this little man. And direct quotes in MMA press conferences are not the best. This is not the Masters, right?
Not the Masters.
I'll have to paraphrase all quotes from MMA. I mean, we literally fought for a belt that had a swear in it. So not easy to write, Jim. Not easy.
No,
to
it's
write.
Not. Or to talk about.
Yeah. It is like, the right reader knows, but still a family website. Anyway, look, I think Masvidal has the size advantage. Masvidal is a legit welterweight right now. He has fought at lightweight, but not, I think, like 2015 or 14. He's a legit welterweight, 170-pounder. And you saw that against Nate. Nate is a hybrid lightweight 155, welterweight 170. He's better at welterweight, especially now in his 30s. But he's a lanky guy. Masvidal is bigger. Connor is a lightweight that has shown a willingness to fight at welterweight because he wanted to fight Nate Diaz. So he will absolutely have the size advantage over Conor McGregor. I don't think that's a great fight for Conor McGregor, but it is a very wealthy fight for Conor McGregor. And McGregor is a guy who tends to believe he can do supernatural things. And he did go up and beat Nate Diaz at 170. He lost to Nate Diaz at 155. So, and he felt when he was hitting Nate, he couldn't hit him hard enough to knock a big guy down. So it's probably better to fight at 170. He's obviously trying to bait Connor into something. We've heard rumors of Connor and Cowboy Cerrone going first. See about that. I think Connor would have an advantage over Cowboy Cerrone, so we'll see. I don't know. There's a lot on the table for 2020, though. It's pretty exciting. I just hope a bunch of these get done in the way that the fans deserve, because it's a pretty exciting just sort of round robin you could have of these guys fighting, because every one of these guys, true to the belt's title, are real fighters. They're not there just to collect checks. They're there to pump it all up and go all the way to where Nate Diaz is, getting X number of stitches on his face and mad that they stopped it.
Dan Wetzel joining us. To that point, Dan, it's such an exciting time, and there's so many great matchups. Saturday night was also the Kovalev-Canelo fight. What do you make of the decision to not start the boxing match until after the UFC card was finished? What does that tell you about where those two sports are right now?
So I don't know the numbers, but I'm guessing they didn't have many pay-per-view signups. That UFC dominated Canelo. They never should have put that on the same night. It wasn't smart for boxing, but clearly they underestimated you should never underestimate the appeal of a Nate Diaz fight. He always does huge numbers. He has huge popularity that just surges up. And so it was a bad idea, but this was a complete victory for MMA. I mean, it was an amazing night for mixed martial arts. They don't back down. Boxing puts their top guy up, Canelo Alvarez. They're forced to wait until the end of the UFC card to even put the fight on because they're worried about no one's going to buy the last second. They literally, during the hour and a half break, ask the UFC if they can pump and put the UFC card up on the big screen in Vegas for their fans to watch so they don't get bored during the break. The president of the United States is at the UFC We've never seen a sitting president or any president, former or anything, ever attend a mixed martial arts event. An historic moment for the sport of acceptance, regardless of your political leanings. Like, presidents go to baseball games. They go to basketball games. They go to, you know, and football games sometimes or whatever. They never have been to a sport like this. Sport was banned in New York until 2016. And all of a sudden, there's a president there.
Right.
And like that is, and he's obviously there because he's friends with Dana White, but also he's trying to get votes. I mean, that's what politicians do. I don't fault him for that. But the fact that anyone cared about these people as potential voters is new. MMA fans were just like, no, those people don't vote. They don't read. They breathe through their mouth. No, they're actual people. And so it was an astounding, just complete whitewash of UFC over boxing. And it's too bad because Canelo's performed. I didn't get to see it. I was covering this fight, but obviously it was an exciting fight, and Canelo had a great performance. So really bad move by boxing to go head-to-head with a Nate Diaz card. This wasn't just any card. I think when you got Nate, when you've got Conor fighting, and maybe now you got Masvidal and maybe a John Jones or something, you got to back off because you're not going to get the attention that you think you should.
Dan Wetzel joining us. Dan, one last thought, if you don't mind, before you go, and I appreciate your thoughts on all that. When you consider, college football note, when you consider where Florida State was when Willie Taggart arrived, and the fact that he has been fired after only a year and a half, the fact that it's another African-American coach who was fired quickly, what kind of thoughts do you have?
You know, I think it's, I don't know. It's hard. His teams were really playing poorly. They were last in penalties last year, or first, whatever, however you want to do it. They're nearly last and first this year. They're losing every game. I think it's always disappointing when you see a really quick pull in college football, and particularly with a guy who, you know, I know Willie Taggart a little bit, and he is a super impressive guy and the kind of person you would want leading your program other than the wins and losses right now. And so to just pull the plug in the middle and not say, hey, let's see what happens the rest of the way. You know, like, just, this is different. No one was saying they were going to fire Jim Harbaugh 3 weeks ago. But 3 weeks later, and all of a sudden you're looking, going, hey, Michigan's not looking that bad. The season may not end up that bad. They're going to go 9-2 heading into Ohio State. What if they beat them? Then you're 10-2. You had a pretty good year. You're certainly not going to fire them. They weren't going to fire Harbaugh. But if you give Willie Taggart the time and say, let's see, maybe you can beat Florida at the end of the year. Maybe you get some momentum recruiting. Let's see what happens. So I always think it's disappointing. That said, he's getting $17 million. There's a lot of other people to feel worse about when they lose their job. And the one thing about Florida State, it's so geographically isolated. It is hard to sell tickets in that huge stadium unless people are willing to drive 2+ hours from Jacksonville, 3+ hours from Orlando. They're so far from the population center that when you start losing, the stadium gets empty. And that is part of the deal at Florida State. You have to sell tickets. You have to create revenue because it's a big business that teeters on. It must be winning. And so that's part of the job at Florida State. So I have a lot of just kind of mixed feelings on it.
How about this? One last thought. You and Pete Thamel were talking about this on your podcast. How bad do things look right now for Clay Helton at USC?
So somewhat similar, certainly. Clay Helton's not geographically isolated, but once you start losing at USC, no one starts showing up at the games. There just isn't that kind of fan base that's going to turn out. And I don't see how he survives this. He wins out. He's 8-4. Is that good enough? They've got a new AD. They've got a new president. Can USC make a real push for a James Franklin, for an Urban Meyer, obviously, which I guess is the ultimate goal, but probably a pipe dream, for Matt Rhule? Who can they get? Again, USC and Florida State, these are jobs when you get the right coach, you can compete for national titles very quickly. And these are the schools, not just that get good, but when they're really going, have historically great teams. And that's why taking these jobs, you have a great chance, but they're going to pull the plug on you in a hurry. Because you have so much is given to you, so much is expected.
So, Dan, really quickly, I've tried to let you go for 5 minutes now, but if, in fact, Urban Meyer's a pipe dream, is it because he thinks that he could do better than USC, or he's not sure he wants to coach?
I don't know if it's a pipe dream. I think it's all about whether he wants to coach. I don't think he thinks he can do better. It's you can't really do a lot better than USC, and USC is a great job for coaches for a number of reasons, but coaches love that job, or the idea of that job, because of the recruiting. You don't have to be on a plane all the time recruiting. The recruiting wears these guys out more than anything else. And if you're at USC, 12, 15 players in your recruiting class, you got in a car and drove to their high school and recruited them. Now, granted, with LA traffic, that could take hours, but maybe
it's a good point.
So it's not all perfect, but you're not just constantly flying somewhere, flying all over. They're right there. Modern day turns out gives you a five-star quarterback every other year, and so the advantages aren't just you can get a lot of great players, but you're the hometown school, and there's no other major college program that has that. Even Texas and stuff like that. There's only so many players at Austin. Yeah, you got to go around the state. You can literally go recruit. You're at home visit with two five-star home visits, and you're back in your own bed that night. So there's just a tremendous interest in that. Plus, it's not all encompassing. You go to a restaurant, you're the fifth biggest star that's sitting at this restaurant. No, you know, it's not everything is boiled down to you. You have to win, but it's not that fishbowl that you get if you're coaching in Tallahassee or Tuscaloosa or things like that. So we'll see if Urban Meyer's ready to make that jump. If he is, SC is a perfect job for him, but I don't know that that's going to be the case.
I think you're right. Number one, you do not have to fuel up the jet to get to Mater Dei. And number two, you're right. There are lots of other things going on in this town, so you're not in that fishbowl. He is a Yahoo Sports columnist. He is a New York Times bestselling author. He's the co-host of the Yahoo Sports College podcast. Good friend of the program and stayed a long time today. Dan, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Always as long as you need me, Jim. Thank you.
That was great, Dan. Thanks so much for covering so much ground with us. Dan Wetzel. 1-800-636-8686. Masvidal and Conor McGregor. You know this is a big Conor McGregor house, although Conor's got to prove that he's once again locked in, focused, dialed, wants to fight. If Nate Diaz could not handle Masvidal, how the hell is Conor McGregor going to handle Masvidal?